Hi, I'm Robert.
Hi, Aaron.
Hi, I'm Jeff.
Do you want to talk about Assassin's Creed for 10 to 20 minutes and then decide?
Well, Jaren has no idea what we're talking about.
That makes it even more fun.
Go for it.
Yeah?
Sure.
Since I'm recording anymore.
Why not?
So, Assassin's Creed is a video game series on the current generation game consoles
that's
and the next generation.
That's
because
just not, that's not just an adaptation starring Michael Fassbender?
In the future.
In the future.
Because we're time travelers, but we can only time travel in the future to see movies, and then we get sent back.
That's right.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'll cut that out.
How time travel was meant to be experienced.
Anyway.
There are five games in the series. Well, I guess seven if you're being technical.
What, are you counting the mobile ones?
No, the handheld.
Yeah, that's what I meant by mobile.
Well, they also have a cell phone version.
Oh, well.
Which would be mobile.
Non-console.
The concept is that it's the present, like 2012.
Actually, a month ago, a few weeks ago, about starts off on Halloween, I think.
And
so by the time we said this, Desmond's already on his journey.
A group, a corporation controlled by a secret organization that is in charge of the world, basically, has developed a technology called the Animus that allows people to access the memories of their ancestors, which apparently is stored in our DNA.
Makes complete total sense.
That's in the opening of the first game. He's like, what? And they're like, yeah, you know how birds know how to fly, like, from birth and shit? That's because it's passed on through memories in your DNA. It's like, what?
Memory DNA.
It's your genetic memory.
Yeah.
So, this corporation, which is revealed to be Templars, as in the Knights Templars, is trying to get a character, Desmond, to relive the memories of various people so they can find objects to control the world.
Yep.
Of course.
Like every organization does.
Yeah, yeah. Desmond... Desmond is part of an organization known as the Assassins, who are opposed to the Templars, and fight
and
for
they kill people,
freedom.
As the name suggests.
In various degrees of hand-to-hand combat.
The first game, Assassin's Creed 1, takes place in the Middle Ages during the Crusades.
Yep.
The second game is during the Italian Renaissance. Assassin's Creed 2B, Brotherhood, is also in the Renaissance, and Assassin's Creed 2R,
also 2C,
Revelations,
or 2 Revelations,
is in, Brotherhood is in Rome.
Yeah, I said
Revelations Rome. Is in Constantinople/Istanbul.
About 30 years later.
And 3 takes place during the American Revolution.
Well, before, during, and after, technically.
The framing device with Desmond, you know, lasts throughout all. The gameplay is third-person action with an open world. So, yeah, you traverse these ancient cities that are apparently painstakingly researched by the developers.
Painstakingly.
Through historical research.
And hand.
Like time travel.
And first hand.
And time travel.
And first hand.
And animus work.
First hand experience.
Yeah. Yeah. The gameplay, you're running around as your ancestor, and you're usually charged with killing someone. And you run around and you do other things to enable you to kill someone.
To kill someone.
You learn and earn other things that allow you to kill people.
Yep.
In various ways.
More efficiently.
Okay. So, now that we've established the gameplay and the plot, basically, you want to talk about the five games since none of us
have
played
the portables? Oh, we're doing the
entire series?
Yes. The entire series.
Oh.
Yes, yes.
Oh.
Let's compare.
We were talking about 3.
No,
that's
we're
right.
Comparing and contrasting the gameplay of all of them and then probably briefly doing plot.
Okay.
Because the gameplay is basically the same through all of them, so we can evaluate them based on that. there's a definite evolution you can see from 1 to 3. Like one.
Yeah, they've definitely developed the gameplay. I think the gameplay is the best part about the whole series. It definitely improved as the series went on, partially due to trial and error and feedback from fans, I assume, and budget.
Yeah, the AI of the enemy characters in the first game is pretty terrible, and they respond in unrealistic ways. Like, anytime you try to enter any city at all, the guards will attack you without reason.
Do you mean that didn't happen in the Middle Ages?
Hey, you can't disprove that. It could have happened.
It could have happened.
Man, attack anyone else, just you.
Well, basically, is to make you act all sneaky-like and
to get
in.
Well, you've got one of those untrustworthy faces.
Which you strategically hide
by your cow.
By your hood.
Yeah, they had these horse sections, which they still have horses in the current one, but the horse handling was pretty bad. The AI was pretty bad. The section in between the main cities was unnecessary, difficult to explore because of how damn huge it was, and had, you know, the first game had tons of collectibles that added nothing to the game.
Oh, way too many. It was
had achievements.
Yeah, it was
they
just there.
They added nothing to the
I
game itself.
Didn't find them at all, so.
Second game, they switched protagonist to the Italian guy, Ezio. Yeah.
Ezio Auditore.
They added
the first
some
guy was
more,
Altair, if we didn't say
Altair.
That before.
They add some more side quests in the second one. And collectibles, and the collectibles actually contribute something to the main game.
Yep.
Yeah.
Side missions had a little bit more variety. Instead of you're in Jerusalem and each of the five sections has two people being robbed, you have to kill the Templar people. It has these other people who are, you know, it's the same side quest over and over and over repeated.
Brotherhood added the gameplay mechanic.
Friends.
Of building an assassin order, recruiting people, and training them, basically.
Which I very much enjoyed, because I could sit on the Colosseum and order my minions to kill people as they walk by.
Revelations expanded on the assassin recruitment program.
They have an international program. Study abroad, if you will.
Yeah. And 3's new mechanic is
naval.
Well,
many things.
They have naval battles.
Yep.
They have basically an extension of Revelations where you're improving your home territory through missions. And
you have your own homestead.
Bigger open world than the
it's
previous
huge.
Ones. I think out of all of them, I prefer 2 the most. I mean, gameplay on some games, you know, there are some games I play just for the gameplay. Like,
right.
One of my favorite games is just Cause 2, not because the story and the voice acting is absolutely terrible, but it has the largest open world of any game ever.
Yeah.
You know, and it's fun to just pop in and go around and destroy entire cities, because you can do that.
Yeah, I think either 2 or Brotherhood was my favorite because, well, I like Brotherhood a lot because of the added dimension of having more assassins and also Rome, but I thought running around Rome for the entire game was really cool.
I like 2 the best because the gameplay was a huge improvement over the first while providing a stronger story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the main character in that one, Ezio, his, you know, the hook through the whole thing is you know, decades-long revenge arc, which, although I didn't feel the time pass as much, you know, he didn't really age in the game. I mean, like, 20 years go by, and there's not really any difference on the character model.
Right.
So I sort of lost by the end, where he's like, I've been hunting for you for 20 years. I'm like, wait, what? I wasn't paying attention
there's,
to the
there's
years.
That, there's, well, I haven't played this game in a long time, because I played them as I released.
Yeah.
Robert, you've recently played through all of them, so you have a better grasp on things connecting. But I remember there was one point in 2 where you finished a mission, and then the screen goes white, and you come back, and it's like 20 years later, and you sit next to... Oh, who was it? I don't even remember. It was the inventor dude. Da Vinci.
Yeah.
Just sat next to Da Vinci and be like, so, back to that thing that we were just talking about 5 seconds ago for the player, but 20 years has passed and we're going to pretend that nothing has happened in between.
Yeah.
I thought that was odd, but whatever.
I think my largest narrative problem with the series is I never care about Desmond. I don't really see the point of the framing device. You could still do historical adventures with assassins without the future stuff. Right. And in the later ones, like Brotherhood of Revelations and 3, they keep pulling you out to try and invest you in Desmond.
Yeah.
And it didn't really work for me.
Yeah.
And then they introduced, you know, elder gods, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, I got more. I got more invested in Ezio than Desmond.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, most of 3 felt very odd for a while because it wasn't Ezio, which I was used to playing for the last 3 games.
3, I may have had the most problems with. I mean, it's the largest, and I think they're getting to the point where they're adding so many other side stuff that they've lost focus on the assassinating and murdering people thing. You know, like they're the side missions that don't really contribute anything. You get money, but you spend money on stuff that doesn't really help you in the gameplay, and there's a point where you get so much money that it doesn't matter.
Assassin's
at all.
Creed, The Sims.
Well, three didn't get that as much because you didn't always you don't just have this constant income like you did in 2, and it's
like for me, I was
sequential games. It was, you know, you there was this whole crafting thing, which was okay. It could have done a lot better with it, but like once I got enough to buy everything I needed, I just stopped
crafting.
I just stopped crafting and trading, so my income didn't explode. But in the other ones, you just got money every 20 minutes. Congratulations, you have a whole bunch of money.
See, in my playthrough 3, because I wanted to explore the entire frontier map, I end up, hunting, 1,000 damn animals. It literally had a thing that popped up in the screen that's like, you're in the top 25% in the world of hunting.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's because every time I run, every 10 feet, there's a pack of wolves that attack me.
Yeah.
So, it got to the point where, by the time I actually found a store and visited it, I traded in all my stuff. It gave me 40,000 pounds or whatever, and I never had to do anything else again.
That one store had that much money. So we'll take all of that.
Because nothing actually cost anything, and I could afford, the top sword right then.
Yeah.
And they don't give you armor
at
any point, there wasn't really anything else for me to need money for.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I like the hunting mechanic. You know, I thought that was interesting. You know, they have different clubs that give you incentives to explore some places just to, you know, for the challenge of it. But some of the gameplay stuff, it's just, it didn't interest me as much as the main story at that point. The main story, despite this 3 being the climax of the framing device, really was sort of lacking. They trade in a new protagonist because they're in the American Revolution now, and you've spent 3 games with an Italian guy. One game with a guy in the Middle Ages who's voiced by an obvious white guy.
Yeah.
Like he's, you know, strong American accent, and he's supposed to be a Middle Eastern Arab involved in the so he's hello, everyone. My name is Altair.
Altair.
And this time you have a Native American as the lead character. And for one, you know, it may some of it is having played through 3 games with the Italian guy, but I had no investment in the Native American character, and he didn't have much personality beyond being super serious and dour all the time. Anytime anyone suggests something like, hey, you should help us with our thing, he's like, your thing has nothing to do with helping my people. And it's sort of like they're trying to reinvest.
You guys are a broken record. It's like the pilgrims showed up and started murdering you yesterday.
It's like they're trying to redo the revenge arc from 2, but without the investment of having people murdered. right. to propel that. Instead, he gets a hold of an artifact from the ancient gods. It's like, hey, if you want to stop your people from being hurt, you should go out and learn to be an assassin. Like, okay.
And then they get hurt.
Okay, cool.
And in the end, turns out, oh, the Native Americans get fucked over. Spoiler. Don't But you don't actually see any of that. It's mm-hmm. just sort of, you come there at the end of the game, spoilers.
Yeah.
And, oh, hey, everyone's gone because the reservations were sold off.
Yeah.
All the land was sold off. Well, I guess I just did that for nothing. End of game. End of his story.
He actually says that. Well, I guess I did all that for nothing.
You don't, like, really see... You don't really see any reaction from him. He's like, oh, everybody's gone. There. Don't worry about that. You got to bury this thing for the framing device. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. And then that's the last thing that basically you have with that
wow.
guy. So none of that pays off. And
you just
he's
spent
in...
the last 30 hours to find out where a Native American buried a necklace thing.
So he was a glorified plot contrivance?
Yeah. They don't try to tie him in that much with the other story.
He's not near as important.
Like and he's in there in like basically every historical moment of the American Revolution. Like he's there yeah. when the general does the shoot them in the whites of their eyes speech.
He's like, hey, nice speech.
Yeah, literally.
He says that several times.
That's a line.
They'll reenact.
He's
a
there when they're
speech.
Signing the Declaration of Independence.
He's like, hey, nice declaration.
So it's like
but he's
French
humorless.
People comment on French people comment on America's on achievements in the Revolutionary War.
But he's super dour about it, so it's not even like a sarcastic remark. He's like, oh,
that would always make it better.
Yeah.
Hey,
nice speech.
Bro.
So he's a very bland protagonist, and then the framing device. You have another protagonist who hasn't been developed much.
Yeah.
Except in the previous game, where if you did a whole bunch of side crap. You unlocked missions that gave you his backstory. That's the only way you really know anything
yeah,
about
I like
your
that
framing
there's
device.
Been a...
Wait, who, what?
Desmond. The Revelations, if you collected one of the collectibles, they unlocked.
Oh, Revelations,
the flashback.
I did all that.
That's the only time you get any real development on that character
at all.
I like
that they've had a character that's been supposedly tying this all together, but you know next to nothing about him.
And in every game, like in 2, mm-hmm. Brotherhood and Revelations, and in 3, basically starts out with a recap, and then he says, I'm Desmond Miles, and this is my story. No, it's not.
it's your ancestor stories.
This story is about as much your story as Final Fantasy X was Titus's story.
That's not the part that anyone is interested in at mm-hmm. all. And again, in trying to develop him in 3, they have these things where you go out into modern day to try and get some stuff. And they keep dropping like plot points on you that you're supposed to care about. Like, they introduce a new antagonist. Mm-hmm. And they basically introduce him right then, and then, like, right after that, if you have an optional conversation with a person, they tell you who that person was, and they act all super sad and annoyed and stuff, and you're like, they probably should have introduced that guy in a previous game, because I care nothing.
Yeah.
And then they kill that guy off at the end of the game. So they build up a guy, and you don't even kill him off, really. Yeah. So
he just sort of dies.
He jumps out a window. Spoilers.
So like it's like they've been coming to
and
terms
he's not
for,
a threat at all.
it's like the reason they've been stretching this crap out, and the reason they've been stretching it out is because they've come to terms over multiple games that Desmond means nothing, and unless they make him the most badass protagonist ever, the last game where it's finally like Desmond, it's gonna completely just like because there's just nothing for him to do.
This was his last game.
Oh, it was his last game?
This was his last game.
Oh, there's a definite end.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah, let's just go into spoilers. Do you want to talk about the end of
the
story?
Spoilers. Okay, Desmond dies.
It's like they gave up on him. It's like, we can't make anything good out of this guy.
So it's basically the end of the world.
In 2, they introduced the fact that basically all of our technology in modern day is stuff that we found from a civilization before us.
Okay.
Later civilizations immortalized them as gods. So, you know, people like Juno and Mars, you know, the gods
Hera,
of war,
yeah.
God of love.
Mm-hmm.
Those were people from the first civilization. which was also Atlantis, I guess, maybe.
We don't really know.
Yeah. So they're introduced basically in one conversation where the Italian guy goes in to kill someone else, who's the Pope, by the way.
Fun.
And he unlocks a secret vault inside the Vatican, and he's introduced to one of these gods.
Using the Pope's Pope stick.
Hey, we're not really here to talk to you. We're here to talk to Desmond from the framing device. Hey, Desmond, the world's going to end in like a month.
Ezio's like, hey, and wait, what? He's like, I'm not talking to you.
Yeah, yeah. If you keep reliving this stuff, you'll eventually find out how to save the world that's going to die.
Instead of telling you right now, we're going to let you go through the rest of your ancestors.
And so through the next couple games, you get some more gods popping up. And here that all culminates in you going into a cave, where you're immediately put into a coma and have to relive your Native American ancestors' memories. Although before that, you reenact the memories of his parent, who was a Templar. Oh, twist, except that was spoiled by a database entry like 5 minutes in when I played it.
I didn't care to read those when they popped up, so for it was still...
They have things where to teach you more about the history that you're experiencing. They have sarcastic things describing... Stuff. About this landmark or this person, and like two of them right after I go through them were like, oh, by the way, your ancestor's a Templar. Oh, by the way, that's a bug that was supposed to unlock it later once you actually learn that, but here it is now.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, by the way, George Washington burned down your ancestor's reservation. Oh, that's supposed to unlock 10 hours later. Spoiler. That was a bug. Spoiler. I like that. All the big twists in 3, aside from Desmond dying in the last minute of the game, were spoiled for me.
Although I was more interested in the other, what if Desmond was alive or dead at the end of the game. I was more interested in the one where he lived and came out as the new Messiah after the world ends.
So
I was more interested in that.
So the whole game, you're reliving your Native American ancestors stuff in 3 to find out where he hid a necklace that unlocks this door that you found through other memories.
Yep.
Because the gods apparently don't want to come out and tell you where they hid this necklace at.
Yeah.
So
I seem to recall doing something really similar to that in Resident Evil 2, where I had to find a key, and someone was being really vague about it for no apparent reason.
Yeah.
So I jumped through a bunch of hoops for an hour, and then all of a sudden I find the key. Don't open it up to find another part of the game.
And every couple hours they pull you out of the Native Americans' memories, so you can go find a power source to help open up the cave. Once you finally find the key, because this place has been around for like 20,000 years without power.
So
apparently.
Desmond's entire role is just basically like,
hey, you related like, to all like, the important people.
Like, hey, do you want to go to what was the first one? I know there's like
it was
Brazil.
It was in New York.
You want to go to New York and find a power source? Okay,
it's the only.
So
thing
then
you're
there's
around
like
for.
A 5 minute platforming sequence, which was actually pretty good.
Which was
then
fun.
They
introduce
you to the new villain
who.
Is, oh, he was a guy from the Templars who was brainwashed to pretend to be an assassin, but he was double agent, so he killed everybody like 10 years after being an assassin. And now you're meeting him just now, and it's like a climactic meeting, except you beat him in one very quick fist fight. And then he keeps popping up every time you go somewhere, except you beat him in like a very quick fist fight every single time.
So he's like everyone... Team Rocket.
Yeah, he's basically Team Rocket, except everyone talks about him like he's the ultimate villain.
So he's like Team Rocket.
Yeah. Well, Team Rocket doesn't even get the ultimate villain status. Nobody like talks about
him. Well, technically, Team Rocket, you know, is like part of the whole group,
right?
You know,
yeah, but nobody
talks. The ultimate evil.
Nobody talks about Jesse and James like they're the ultimate evil, though.
No.
They talk about this guy like he's the ultimate villain, but he fails like he's Team Rocket.
Yeah. I see.
Every time you meet him. Of course, you have your ancestors training from experiencing their memories. Except you don't
that
even.
Works.
Except you don't show that either. You just skim in the face a couple times and you lose.
There's no.
And you're able to climb really well.
No kung fu moves or like assassin.
No, you hit him in the face.
No, you just hit him in the face a lot.
And then when he gets down on the ground, you kick him.
Assassin's Creed. It's a lot like mugging a guy.
It's a lot like mugging.
So you go to Brazil, you go to New York as Desmond, you go to Italy to the place where you were kept in the first game to save your dad. And all the time, they've only introduced one of the modern-day Templar guys, who is the guy who kidnapped you in the first place and set all this in motion.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the guy in charge of the making you relive your past thing. And the entire time you go to save your dad, who's Q, by the way, he's talking through the entire skyscraper intercom system and taunting you, and he's like, hey, you should give up your knife, or I'm going to kill your dad. And you don't give up your knife, and you kill all the guards. He's like, well, you shouldn't have done that. I'm going to send some more guards. And he keeps taunting you the entire way.
And then you get in an elevator, and then he shuts down the elevator. He's like, really? You get into an elevator at the enemy stronghold?
And then you climb out of the elevator.
Like they weren't expecting it.
And then you meet the evil villain henchman again. But instead of having a climactic fight, he freaks out and basically jumps out of a window and dies.
You have to chase after him. You're like, no,
for some reason,
wait, don't jump out of the window.
Don't jump out the window. Let me punch you in the face.
For some reason, they make you chase him even though he adds nothing. There's nothing for you to grab from him. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to actually chase him. But the game makes you chase him
because
when he's
freaking
out.
Your villain.
Yeah. And then you go to save your dad from Q, and the dude's like, hey, I told you to bring this piece of the ancient civilization in exchange for your dad.
Well,
even though you killed all of my guards so far, and I haven't, you know, killed your dad, I'm going to act like I'm still able to threaten you. Oh, did you want that thing that can give you power over the entire world? Here, let me give it to you. Oh, no, you know, I'm going to use it to make all of you kill yourselves.
Oh, wait, that thing I asked you to bring? You can kill anyone with a simple thought.
Yeah,
I forgot you could do that.
And again, he's talking the whole time like he's the ultimate bad guy, but he's not. You know, there's like
the president of the Templars. He's not the head of the Templars. He's the head of the Animus Project. But
all of his dialogue makes it feel like he's the ultimate villain. But that's just because
he's the only other bad guy you've met
in the entire game as Desmond. So he dies by killing himself. So you have no more villains. You finish up your Native American ancestor.
Oh, no, no more villains except the sun.
Yeah.
That's going to kill you with a solar flare unless you...
Yeah, the entire modern-day narrative is after 2, you find out the entire Earth is going to perish through solar flares, and that's what happened to the first civilization, was they died from solar flares. Of course, they could prevent that, but they were distracted with fighting a war on humans.
they were distracted with being gods.
Yeah. Humans were slaves, and then we rebelled,
slaves
do.
Yeah. Adam and Eve rebelled.
Poetic symmetry.
Yeah, yeah. You think they tried to tie that in to the American Revolution, but they don't. Not really.
Yeah.
There's an optional thing where you can read emails. There's an optional thing where if you go out of the Animus and you read some emails, the god Juno is sending you emails telling you about how how Jix,
the ancient god, is sending you emails.
It's like from 0110001 subject, I found a way into your computer system.
And by the way, one of her emails...
It's pretty cool in here. Do you know how much porn there is here?
And she's basically complaining about, you know, how evil humans are and how that basically cost the first civilization in the world everything.
Mm-hmm.
But also she sends you an email complaining about how you're taking all the time in the world to finish your memory stuff.
Yet while you're out in the real world, she takes time to monologue to you.
Yeah.
It's like, you shouldn't be spending your time in the memories doing other side mission stuff. Also, you probably shouldn't be reading emails. But she doesn't say that part either. And when you plug in your power sources, she's going through all these other monologues about the ways they thought to save the world but failed.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we thought of a way to plug into the computers, but that didn't work. Oh, we thought of, like, making ourselves new bodies, but that didn't
work.
We thought about a way to, like, save entire city. Well, we thought of a way to save the world, but that didn't work. Thought of a way to save, like, a continent, but that didn't work. Thought of a way to save a city, but that didn't work.
Really, you humans only survived because there was a shit ton of you. And apparently we breed like rabbits compared to the
gods.
And
we resent you for it.
Yeah.
Because, well... We all have to.
They
the gods can't breathe properly because they all have to like
Well, they created us as a mistake.
They all have to, like, do it with their siblings, and that's weird for them. Right. And they can't get over the whole we're always trying to, like, eat each other thing.
So you go through, after you find out...
Oh, apparently god food tastes like cardboard, according to the British dude.
Yeah.
Well, he's British.
You have a support team who adds nothing.
Yeah.
Except snide comments about the British view of the revolution.
Huh. But they don't add anything. You have to read that. That's not their voice actors. That's something you can read optionally.
No, the British dude talks about it if you go talk to him outside.
Optionally.
Well, optionally.
They're not well integrated into the game.
He's optionally.
So after finding out through 20 hours of experiencing your Native American ancestors' memories mm-hmm. where he hid a necklace at that unlocks the door to the cave that you're in,
cool.
You go retrieve that necklace and you open up the door, and after taking 5 steps, you hit a cutscene in the last 5 minutes where, oh, if you touch this thing, you'll save the world. We're not going to explain how that works, even though we spent like 10 other minutes explaining to you all the other things that didn't work to save the world. And then some other god shows up and she's like, no, oh, this god's you shouldn't evil. Trust this god. If you touch that thing, she'll save the world, but she'll take over the world after that. But
you die and she takes over the world.
And if you don't touch it... You know, almost everyone in the world dies from solar flares, but you come out, you educate everyone, and you get basically turned into a god.
Yeah. You're the new world messiah.
And instead of actually giving you a choice, like letting you make
the
decision.
Which I would have loved to do.
Uh-huh.
Instead, it gives you 10 seconds, and he's like, yeah, I don't want the world to die, I don't want the cycle to continue, so... Hey, I'm going to press this thing and die, and then the god is going to have control over the world. But we can fight her, I guess, even though she's a god. And then you die, and there's credits, and there's radio narration over the credits.
Yeah, there's a radio narration saying, yeah, there were some solar flares yesterday that minorly interfered with communication.
Oh, and half the world was destroyed through super volcanoes and stuff, but we're going to gloss over that. But hey, we were miraculously saved over something that we're not going to show you through a cutscene. Even though all of the games so far have been building up
to
that.
This moment.
Right.
And then you get a 5-second sequence where the goddess Juno is like, hey, you played your part, dead guy. Now I'm going to play mine. And then walks off.
Yeah.
And that's the culmination of 5 games of story in the modern day that you don't care about because they didn't develop it enough.
Jesus.
But you're supposed to be invested, and it's supposed to be building up to a conclusion.
And it's supposed to be epic.
But there's no conclusion.
There's a conclusion, but you don't care about
it because
they didn't develop
enough. There's a conclusion for Desmond, but the world is going
to
be enslaved.
And they only reveal the conclusion to you like 1 minute before the game ends. The entire third game is you doing stuff so you can open a door to have a 1 minute cutscene where you die.
That culminates all the games before it.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's the story of Assassin's Creed. That's the story you don't care about, the framing device. You know, the ancient past stuff, it's interesting, mostly.
That's the reason why you play the game.
I just feel like they could cut out the framing device, but now because they built up a goddess basically as a villain, they have to come up with a better framing device protagonist.
See, I felt like the framing device worked building up to it for the first few games, but then when they were trying to conclude it, it all fell apart. Like, hey, this is a good idea in theory. Uh-huh. We'll figure out how to end it later. And then no one figured out how to end it.
5 games later with no development. Yeah. Crap, we need an ending.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they specifically said the world's going to end in 2012. So they're like, oh, crap, we have to finish it in 2012.
Shit, why didn't we push that back?
Why did we say the year 2000X?
Damn you, Mayans.
Yeah.
So I feel like to improve the game, or at least improve the narrative, they should maybe balance that a little bit better when they introduce the next future protagonist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe try, and this is going to come out of sacrilege if you like the other stuff, half and half. Half time in the present, doing stuff.
Or at the very least, not have your time in the past just to know where your ancestor hid an object.
Yeah, not have it be so pointless.
an object that he doesn't care about, and he doesn't even know he's supposed to be doing that.
That's funny.
He goes, oh, my ancestor found this thing, and then stuff happened. Maybe I should go find that thing.
It would have been more interesting if the entire third game was from the point of the Templar guy. You know, like working to help the American Revolution, but also being an evil Templar who's going to take over the world as soon as we free America from the British. That would have been a little bit more compelling for me. Than
They needed to do a lot more with, I liked being able to play as your Native American's father, but then they immediately cut you off and you have barely any more interaction throughout the rest of the game. When you really had a lot of room to play the whole, you know, father-son thing on opposite sides.
And also, since you're accessing genetic memories, shouldn't you know right away that he's a Templar?
Right, yeah.
Considering it's in your genetic memory.
Instead of it being a surprise 3 hours in, although that was ruined like 10 minutes in through a database entry. That was probably fixed by a patch this week. I don't know.
Use this patch to fix this bug that would only be relevant if you haven't played the game yet.
Yeah. I'm guessing they're hoping to save the Christmas crowd.
That's probably it.
Yeah.
Here, fix this bug so that you don't get spoiled on something that happens eventually in the game.
I feel like, they need to work a little bit more on the story, on keeping you invested with the characters. I feel like they should cut some of the side stuff, or at least make it more interesting to focus on the killing that is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're an assassin, but you don't do much time.
Yeah, make better use of it.
Yeah, there was a lot more actual assassinating in the previous games. Maybe they, I don't know.
I mean, some of the side stuff, like the naval battles, play really well. It's just, it doesn't connect to the main narrative much.
Right. I really enjoyed the gameplay. That's the main reason why I play the game. And some of the additions / revisions, and I know they have a new physics engine, so a lot of things felt different for a lot of reasons, but I really liked the naval gameplay.
It took me through halfway through the game to figure out how the camera system worked now.
The camera system?
The counter.
Oh, yeah.
See, in the previous games, you basically just press the button, and that was it. This one, no, you gotta hold the button, and then hold the attack button for a door.
You didn't have to hold B. You just hit it, and you have a second to decide what you're gonna do.
I kept wondering why he was pushing people down all the time and never actually killing them.
It's because he kept hitting B.
Why don't you do
B?
Counter doesn't work. It didn't tell me anything about it. It's not like, oh, here's how we.
Yeah, they do need better instruction. They needed that for multiplayer too. Multiplayer was improved, by the way.
Oh yeah, you can talk about multiplayer.
Multiplayer is fun. There's still a lot of the same multiplayer options as in 2. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's a pretty unique multiplayer. There's several different game variants, and you get to... It's not a just run around and kill everybody. You actually get rewarded for acting like an assassin, which is a unique concept, actually using multiplayer to enrich your gameplay.
Mm-hmm. I know. Go figure.
I know, right? So I thought they did that very well.
Mm-hmm. You mean it's not just a necessary component to all games?
Yeah. They also include a co-op thing where you go through different sequences and you have to get points to go to the next sequence, and you're timed, and you and your teammates have to kill these people in certain ways. It's really annoying when you're teamed up with people who don't know what they're doing, because they just run around and try to kill people, thinking, okay, I just have to kill 5 people, and you go on to the next thing. So I yell at them on the mic and say, no, it's points, you idiot.
And then they mute you.
Go to sleep. It's your bedtime.
I don't know. It's an entertaining series. I think I'll keep playing them at least, you know, if the next entry isn't absolutely terrible, in which case I would quit. But, you know, because of GameStop's use game rules, I was able to play through 3 of them on one $20 bill. And then get that 20 back. So
good job.
Is that hardcore?
So, you know, it's entertaining enough. I just feel like there are some improvements that can be made to the gameplay and the narrative. you're going to make us sit through sci-fi future stuff, maybe take care to make me invested in the future stuff.
Yeah.
Of course, then it'll turn out in a couple weeks that Earth really does die from solar flares, and I'll be like, oh, you got me, Assassin's Creed.
Oh, you got me.
You're going to say that while you're being microwaved by...
Well, right. Well, you know, there'll probably be a news report, like, right before that, like, oh, solar flares are coming, you're going to die in 10 seconds. Oh, you got me, Assassin's Creed.
Oh, you got me.
Comes out 10 seconds before that.
You got me, Assassin's Creed. That's all I got. Are you interested in the series now, Jaren, based on our descriptions?
Now that we
spoiled all the future story for you.
I've been interested.
We didn't actually spoil the interesting, the
interesting
actual
parts.
Part that people usually care about.
Uh-huh. Really. About the ridiculous.
Except the Native American character, who's the main one of three.
You just told me about the ridiculous future plot
that consists of not even 5% of your game time.
Yeah.
So 95% is in the past.
Yeah, I'll probably play it eventually. I'd always meant to play it.
I have the
game. Say if you want to start at 2.
Yeah.
Skip one, just because the gameplay is bad enough, it's not really worth going into.
It was good when you couldn't compare it to their improvements.
Yeah.
Like, when I played one with, none of them, it was okay. Like, it was, some parts were annoying, like the travel time, but you tolerate it because you don't know any better.
Mm-hmm.
So, they did very much improve. There was no fast travel in the first one. In the second one, they allowed you to have fast travel, but you have to discover the points, and you have to go to one fast travel point to fast travel to another one.
It's the thing that lets you jump to places on the map.
In this one, you just get to go to the menu and select the place you want to go, and then go there.
Yeah.
Although there is annoying going through the maze underground, Boston, and New York, trying to find all the points initially, but whatever.
Yeah. Oh no, that's what we thought on the Assassin's Creed series. Yeah, we website, podcast, stuff, OFC group.
All that stuff.
Yay.
Bye. You have a blog?
No matter how many energy drinks you've had.